in keeping of them, there's great reward. All right, praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and just spend a moment in prayer. Let me mention these again for our revival for prayer, that God would search my heart and reveal anything in my life that is not right with Him. I said we're going to emphasize these first two for Sunday, the next two for Monday, the next two for Tuesday, right down through the week. But it wouldn't hurt to rehearse all 10 of them again as we get to them, especially that one, search my heart, O God. It's in that verse that we just sang there as well, chapter that we just sang. And then number two, that God would break my stubbornness and hardness of my heart. Praise the Lord. So let's go ahead and keep those things in our prayer for our own personal revival. And then many have been lifting up prayers for our revival services. Let's keep them before God's throne as we pray one for another, walking through this week of revival services. I'm going to ask Brother Dave Cramner if he'd go ahead and stand and just give this place, this meeting, and Brother Bennett over to the Lord. Ask again for His presence and His hand. And let's go ahead and unite our hearts together in that prayer, Brother Dave.
Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, Lord, once again, we are so thankful for being in your house tonight, Lord. We are so thankful for the ability, Lord, in each and every one of our hearts to be revived. And Lord, that means to search out things, Lord, that are not right and help us to do that on an individual basis. Be with Brother Bennett, Lord, as he brings a message. I just pray, Lord, that you just keep Satan from this place, Lord, and help him to preach freely, Lord, what you put upon his heart, Lord. Protect us, Lord, and help us to have listening ears for what you want us to hear. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Bennett, come and preach to us. Well, amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see each and every one of you out. I know the Lord has a blessing for you for being here. And I just dropped your pencil on the floor, and I can't bend over and get it. So. Amen. Good to see you, buddy. Amen. All right, I'm going to kick the pencil over here so I don't step on it. You'll never find that pencil again, brother. All right. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Let's get into the Word of God and find out what He has for us out of His book tonight. And I'm sure there's something here that we can preach. Amen? Romans chapter 1. Let's start reading here in verse 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. We'll read down to verse 7. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets to the holy in the holy scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for this time that we can gather together in your house. And I pray, dear God, that you just do a work in our midst and you know exactly what we need. I pray that you'd use this old preacher for your honor and glory. And as your word goes forth, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would do a work in our hearts. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice here in verse 7, there's a lot of preaching here in the first seven verses. And but I want you to notice down here in verse 7. It says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called. Now notice those next two words, to be. They're italicized. And I'm not changing the Word of God anyway. But the italicized words were added by the translators. And by the way, they're honest. They tell us that they add those words. to make it more clear, but we weren't called to be saints. We're called saints.
Yeah.
Okay? Called saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think about being a saint tonight. The Roman Catholic Church, usually when you talk to people out in the street and you talk about being a Christian, people have this idea of Christianity that's completely different than biblical Christianity. And the first thing that comes to their mind is the Roman Catholic Church. When they think about Christianity, they think about the formalism of the Roman Catholic Church. Well, the Roman Catholic Church, through the years, has come up with a system to where they make people saints. I read a book not too long ago. It's been quite a while ago now. Time goes so fast. But it says, "The Saints Behaving Badly." And what it was a book of different saints that the Roman Catholic Church had elevated to a position that they considered to be saints. And they were really bad people. They weren't good people at all. And anything that you would have thought a saint to be was not found in these people at all. So it was an interesting book. I kind of like books like that. And I got a lot out of it. But it's on my shelf. I'll never read it again. Now, the fact of the matter is this, that the Roman Catholic Church is not what makes us saints.
Yeah, come on.
You know, you are a saint, by the way, and we're going to talk about it here in a minute, but we're all saints because we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, I was made a saint at the age of 8. I wasn't elevated by the Roman Catholic Church, but I was elevated by Jesus Christ and His shed blood. When I got saved, you could have called me St. Cliff. Amen? That's pretty special, you know. And I could have done the same with you, you know. St. Ed. Well, that's kind of St. Ed. We don't do that, though, do we, in the church? What we do is brother and sister and... No, brothers and sisters. And that's what we do in the church. But we are still saints. And I'm going to talk about that real quick. We won't be here long, but I want to take the word saints, and we'll make an acrostic out of it. You'll remember this sometime down the road. You won't remember who preached it, but that's okay. You don't have to remember me. Just remember what God is saying through this particular message. S-A-I-N-T-S. And I'm not talking about New Orleans saints. I'm talking about the real saints. Amen. I remember when I was younger and I was courting a young lady by the name of Connie. And we'd talk on the phone in the evenings. And I lived out in the country. We had a party line. And I loved talking on the party line because you could always tell when they were listening to you. You could hear them breathing. They'd pick up their phone. They'd slam the phone down. They'd always sigh because you were still on there. Well, me and this Miss Connie, we'd talk for hours, and then, boy, I tell you what, my mom in the living room, right beside the telephone, had an organ. And so, to entertain Miss Connie, I would play on the organ. Now, I didn't know how to play on the organ. I honestly have nothing musical in me. There's not a note that is good. But the fact of the matter is, I got to plunking around on there, and I learned how to plunk out with one finger when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in, you know.
Yeah.
And so I would sing that to Miss Connie, and she thought I was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And, she eventually became my... She was so impressed by that, she eventually became my wife. Amen. But the fact of the matter is that when the saints go marching in, you know who's going to be a part of that? Me. And those of you here tonight that have been saved by the blood of the crucified one. Think about this. The S in saints, we're sacred. We are sacred. You know, the word saint itself means pure, holy, innocent. Now, I understand that a lot of folks that are saved today weren't pure and holy and innocent. They were at the bottom of the barrel. They had been on drugs. They had been drinking. And they had been doing things that were abhorrent. And I want to tell you something, that the Lord brought them out of that condition and brought them out of the pit and put them upon the rock. Christ Jesus, and they were saved by the blood of the crucified one. I also know that when you get saved, that you can do all kinds of things that aren't saintly. And you can act in a very abhorrent way. I've seen Christians act badly. I've seen the saints act badly. And I mentioned this morning the fact that it seems like when Baptists get together, we have to have a business meeting. Well, I've seen more bad things happen in a business meeting than almost any other time in a church. And I've seen deacons get into fist fights in a business meeting. I've seen people get mad and cuss out the preacher in a business meeting. Now, I have no doubt in my mind that a lot of these people that were doing those things were saved by the blood of the crucified one. Folks, don't think for a minute that we Christians can't do what the rest of the world does. We can fall into sin and we can act the same way this world acts. Don't think for a minute just because you're saved, you're above it all. Take heed lest ye fall, the Bible says. We are, though, as saints of God, sacred. Matter of fact, it tells us over there in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 8 that we're going to wear a robe of righteousness. Can you imagine that? The white linen, pure and clean. And you know what that white linen's called? The righteousness of the saints. It's not the Lord's righteousness that it's called. It's called the righteousness of the saints. Where did we get that righteousness? From Jesus.
Amen.
But He's transferred it to us. And we're wearing the righteousness of the saints. Well, I don't know, some of you, this is a hard day today, apparently.
Amen.
Amen. Rough day. I'm not even getting a smile out of you yet. Listen, we'll get there. There's some good stuff here before I'm done. But we're sacred. We're holy. We're innocent in the eyes of God as saints of God. How'd you get to be a saint? By trusting Jesus Christ. Now, if you're here tonight, and by take away the if, you're here tonight. You've not trusted Christ as your Savior. You're not a saint. I don't care how good you think you are. You're not a saint. You won't be a saint until you've placed your trust in Jesus. Realize you're lost and on your way to a godless hell. And place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sin and turn to Jesus. And He'll elevate you to the position of saint. Well, I like that, don't you? I'm getting excited about it, even though you guys look like you're ready for bed. I'm getting excited about this. All right, we're sacred. The A. All the saints are saved. All of them are saved. There's no lost saints. Now, folks, once you're a saint, you'll never become an ain't. You'll always be a saint. You don't lose the S along the way. What's the S? Salvation. You don't lose it. And you can't lose it. My Bible, and I'm pretty sure yours says the same thing, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What does that mean? Well, it means it's forever and ever. I probably told you this story. I've been coming here for a few years, and so I've probably told you this story. But if I have, just go with it, okay? Go with the flow tonight. But I remember listening to a fella on the radio that said, we can have eternal life as long as we're in the hand of Jesus. But if we should happen to get out of that hand, we lose that eternal life because you got to be in the hand of Jesus. He was preaching from, guess where? John chapter 10. As long as we're in the hand of Jesus, we're safe and secure in Jesus. But we climb out of there. Folks, how stupid can you be? Once you're in the hand of Jesus, why would you want to get out? Once you're in the hand of Jesus, how do you get out? Once you're in the hand of Jesus, do you realize that not only are you in the hand of Jesus, but the next verse actually tells us the hand of the Father's around that hand. So you're doubly secure. And then in the book of Ephesians says we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
Let me ask you how you walk away from Jesus. When He promised us over there in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How do you get away from Jesus? You can't walk away from Him. He's always going to be there. You can't run away from Him. You're going to find Him there. Listen, you don't walk away from Jesus. You know, I understand that you can get depressed. I understand that sometimes you can even doubt your salvation when things press in on you. I can understand that through sickness and all. Listen, John the Baptist was probably one of the greatest Christians that ever lived. He even doubted his salvation. He was in prison. Can you imagine? And he sent a couple of his men. He said, go find out if this Jesus truly is the Messiah.
Yeah, that's what he said.
And he found out, yeah, He is. What had John been doing? Been preaching Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He'd been preaching Jesus. How'd Andrew get saved? By listening to John the Baptist. How'd Peter get saved? By listening to Andrew. And you just keep on going on down the line. The fact of the matter is, that all the saints are saved. That you're not going to lose your salvation. You're secure. I like that S. We can talk about S all night long. We're secure in Christ. And we are the saints of God. We've been elevated to a position that this world cannot reach. I don't care how many saints there are in the Catholic Church. It doesn't have to be in the Catholic Church. You are a saint if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. We've been elevated. I want to take you on a journey through the Word of God for just a second. Look over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. And notice what he says here in verse 1. Paul of chapter 1, 2 Corinthians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. All the saints. He's writing to the church and he's writing to the saints. Those that know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the other direction. I was going the other direction. But back here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he was dealing with a problem in the church at Corinth. And he comes to this point in this message that he had about tongues in verse 33. He says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Here we are at Good Samaritan Baptist Church in Dresden, New York. And this is one of those churches of the saints. Amen. Somebody say, I don't feel like a saint. You're still a saint. I don't see in the Word of God where we have to feel like saints. Now I do see, I'm going to talk about this in a minute, where we have to act like saints. But we don't have to feel it. Back here in 2 Corinthians, look in chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at verse 13. It says, all the saints salute you. All the saints. Listen, all the saints. Boy, I like that, don't you? I've met a few saints along the way. Been in their churches, preached for a few saints. And I guarantee you that we're unified in this thing called Christianity. Those of us that have done a little traveling around met some of the saints. They believe the same thing you believe. They trust the same Jesus you trust. They love the same Lord. They love this Bible. They love to hear the preaching of God's Word. I was preaching to some saints over in Kenya, Africa. I'll never forget it. I preached for about 30 minutes, and I said to the missionary who was my interpreter, and we call them interrupters over there. But I said to him, "Well, I'm done," and he says, "No, you're not." He says, "You only preached 30 minutes, and these people, some of them walked miles to come here. You need to preach more than that." I said, "If you haven't got anything to preach, find something to preach." So I preached another 30 minutes, and I said, "That good?" He said, "Keep on going, brother." They weren't happy until you preached at least an hour and a half, 2 hours. If you hadn't preached that long, they didn't like you. But they sure appreciated the preaching. You know what? They were the saints of God. I guarantee you, the saints of God are hungry for the Word of God. Saints of God want to hear the Word of God. They want to hear the old hymn sung. You know something about nursing home ministries? Our church has a nursing home ministry. Go over there and sing those old hymns. I don't care what church those folks belong to. They could have been Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic. They could have been Lutheran. Many of them are Lutheran in that area. Lutheran. But they all know the old hymns. You know something about those old hymns? They're a unifying force. They bring people together. You know, we start singing those old hymns and more people come in because they heard the old hymns. You go in there with that rock and roll music, they don't care to hear that. They just want to hear some old hymns. They want to hear Amazing Grace. They want to sing and hear How Great Thou Art. They want to hear those things. They don't want to hear that rock and roll music. Can't understand the words anyhow. That's a unifying force. And you know something? There could be an old lady over here, and she's got a frown on her face, and you start singing Amazing Grace, and I'll tell you what, a big old smile come on her face. Why? Because the saints love those old hymns. Oh boy, I want to tell you something, all the saints. Look, if you will, in the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, the eye. Ephesians chapter 1. The I in saints is the word in. I-N. In the saints. Look, if you will, here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I want you to stop and think. We've been elevated to a position that this world can't reach. And we as the saints of God are going to, through us, glorify Jesus. Isn't that great? We have an opportunity to glorify our Lord. I don't know if you've thought about this or not, but when the rapture takes place, there's going to be a multitude of people leave this old world. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to go meet our Savior. We're going to meet Him in the sky. And when we see Him, of course, we'll be like Him. But can you imagine multitudes of people? Now, all the graves are going to split open. So all the saints of God that have passed on before us are going to come out of those graves. And they're going to go up to meet the Lord. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So here's a multitude of people. I don't know how many millions of people that'll be. But it's going to be a bunch of people. And when we go up to meet, you know something? I've heard all my life that the rapture is going to be a silent thing. I don't believe that for a minute. How do millions of people come out of graves and people not notice it? How do all of a sudden every Christian in this world come up missing and people not know it? It's not going to be silent. There's going to be a lot of noise that goes along with that. But when we get up there to see the Lord, we're not going to be silent. We're going to shout, "Glory! Yeah. Hallelujah!" Yeah. I mean to tell you, we don't even know. We don't even have any clue as to what it's going to be like to see Jesus. When we see Him, things are going to change immediately. And when we see Him, we will be like Him. Folks, I want you to understand that the glory that He shows through Him, He will share with us, and we will glorify Him through us. What a bright... You do realize in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, it says that we will shine as the stars. Can you imagine what the millions of people that have just been raptured out of this world? It's like one shining star up there in the sky. The glory of God. What glory that will be. Oh, that will be glory for me. Wow, I tell you. Some of you will wake up. Glory. Boy, I'll tell you what. Look in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at verse 10. It says, when he shall come, and what's he coming to do? To be glorified in his saints. And to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. To be glorified in the saints. When you got saved, you were elevated to a position of saint. And as in that position, we have been given the opportunity to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I want to tell you, that's an awesome, awesome responsibility that we have as saints. You know what? I don't think too many Christians in this day and age that we live in take it very seriously. They don't realize that we're the saints of God and we represent Jesus Christ here on this side of glory. And they don't understand that as we walk this sod out here and we walk around, that we are to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ while we're still here on this earth. Folks, I remember Brother Hardman saying that God ought to be seen through us. Folks, I believe that the glory of the Lord ought to be seen through us. We are His saints and we have an awesome responsibility to glorify Him while we're still here. Then the N in saints is N-O-T-S, knots. Knots for the saints. Look back here in Ephesians again, chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Notice what it says down here in Ephesians chapter 5. I'll get there. Down here, and we'll start reading in verse 3. It says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Whoa. Do you realize, see there that word saints, there's no period there. That doesn't end, there's a semicolon. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Folks, there is a way of living that is becoming the saints, as becometh the saints. We ought to exemplify what it's like to be a saint. You know, too many times we say, well, I just don't feel like a saint. I don't act like a saint. I don't walk like a saint. We've got this crazy idea about what a saint's supposed to look like. Well, I'm going to tell you something. A saint's supposed to look like we look. That's what a saint looks like. I mean, we're not extraordinarily handsome, although I may be, but we're not, we're not set apart from everybody else because of that. And the fact of the matter is that when somebody sees us, they should be able to say, you know, that's what a Christian should act like. In other words, what they're saying is, that's what a saint should act like. A saint should act like that. You know, I think through the years I've met some true examples of the saints. I remember my Uncle Ray, people didn't really like Uncle Ray because they always thought he had his head in the clouds. They said he's so heavenly minded he's no earthly good. I remember him saying that about old Uncle Ray. Yeah, it was some time ago, I don't know, a few years ago, we went and put flowers in the graves, and I went back and saw Uncle Ray's grave back here in the back of the cemetery. There weren't any flowers on Uncle Ray's grave, and I kind of kicked myself. I wish I'd taken some flowers for Uncle Ray. I never was around Uncle Ray, and without him talking about Jesus. That's all he talked about. You know, the rest of the men were over there. They were talking about some football game, baseball game. Uncle Ray, he's over here talking about Jesus. Singing a gospel song. Loving the Lord. You know, and the rest of the family kind of shunned him because he was talking about Jesus. But I felt for Uncle Ray. But you know what? I rubbed shoulders with a saint. Somebody that truly loved Jesus. Loved the Lord. When he passed out of this world, he went up to be with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a saint. That's a saint. You know, there's some knots here. Notice what it says here in verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let not be once named among you as becometh saints. Folks, we ought to be an example of what it's like to be a saint. You see, we don't have a glow. We don't go out and glow. And we don't have a halo. And we certainly don't have angel's wings. We don't have those things to go out there and impress people with. All we've got is this old flesh that we have on us. And even though it might not be the best looking flesh, it's what we got. Amen. You can stand there and look in the mirror and say, boy, I wish that nose wasn't so crooked. Or you can talk about that pimple or whatever it is. But that's the flesh that God gave you.
Amen.
Amen. We don't need surgery to correct it. What we need to do is just act like a saint. Be an example of a saint. This world's hungry to see some saints. They want to see somebody that's real. They don't want to see somebody that's faking it. They want to see somebody that really loves Jesus. They want to see somebody that will live according to the way Jesus would have us live.
Amen.
I mentioned the other night, I don't know if it was here, but it was Gandhi. I believe it was Gandhi. And by the way, Gandhi wasn't really a good guy. You know, if you read about Gandhi, he wasn't really a good guy. But I think they quoted him as saying he would have become a Christian if it hadn't have been for Christians. Folks, listen to me. He would have become a Christian if it hadn't have been for Christians. What's that mean? That means that Christianity turned him off. Because Christians didn't act like Christians. You want to know how a Christian should act? Go talk to a lost person. They'll tell you how a Christian should act. They know more about Christianity than you do, probably. But we ought to live lives that becometh saints. We ought to live in such a manner, people say, that's what Christianity is all about. We ought to live in such a way people want what we got. Oh, listen, we're not out there going to the bar. We're not jumping from bed to bed. We're not out there squandering our money by gambling. We're not doing those things. We're not drinking ourselves to an early grave. We're not taking drugs. We're not doing those type of things. We ought to act like Christians. Walk like Christians. Talk like Christians. Listen, because we've been elevated to position of saints doesn't make us better than anybody. It gives us more responsibility to go out there and talk to folks about Christ. I'd like to see them elevated to saint. I'd like to see them in sainthood. Amen? Oh, as become a saint. See, this as become a saint, we're the examples. We're the examples. It was like that Sunday school lesson we had this morning, where the older men were to teach the younger men, where the older ladies were to teach the younger ladies. And there should be a succession in the church. Why? Because the older ladies have shouldered their responsibility and taught the younger ladies how to do the things they were supposed to do. The older men have shouldered their responsibility and taught the younger men what they were supposed to do. So there ought to be a succession. But somewhere along the line, somebody didn't shoulder their responsibility. You've got all of these dominoes set up to fall down. You push it over and it goes around and around and around. But it gets to a certain place because somebody took a domino out. And it stops. Listen, the dominoes have stopped because we didn't shoulder the responsibility to teach the younger ones how it should be done. Listen, we're the example when it comes to saints. Your grandkids are depending on you to show them what it's like to be a saint. Your kids are depending on you to show them what it's like to be a saint. Your great-grandkids are depending on you to show them what it's like to be a saint. We've got to show them. We can't live like the world and expect our kids to turn out to be great Christians. We can't cuss and swear and drink and do all the things the world does and seek the pleasures of this world and expect our kids and grandkids to say, "Boy, that's the way it is to be a Christian. I'm going to do that." No. Folks, we have a responsibility as becometh saints. The T. Look back here in Jude, the book of Jude, just before the book of Revelation, the book of Jude. I've already failed in my message. I was planning on being done at 7. That ain't going to happen. But here in Jude, I want you to go down to verse 14 of the book of Jude. I love Jude. When I was in Bible school, studying to pastoral studies, and had a Fred Moody was my preaching teacher, and he said, "I want you, when you folks graduate, to be prepared to have a whole month's worth of messages. I'm going to take you to a book in the Bible that you can preach on for a whole month." He took us to the book of Jude, and I looked at that in 25 verses, and I said, "There ain't no way I can preach a whole month of that." I found out there's a lot of stuff here in Jude. Man, you could preach a whole year in the book of Jude and probably not cover everything. What a glorious book it is. But I want you to notice verse 14. "And Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints." The T in saints. 10,000s of His saints. Amen. Well, you know, I want you to think about this with me for just a minute. Now, I don't know how many 10,000s is, but it's a lot. And I think that word, those words, 10,000s, just saying, well, we couldn't count them all, so we're just going to put 10,000s in there just to keep them wondering. Now, I don't know how it's going to happen, but we're coming back with Jesus. And He's coming back with all of His saints. We're going to be included in that. Read Revelation chapter 19 when you get home. It's glorious. You know, I was telling Deb how wonderful of a horseman I am. And boy, I can handle a horse as long as I'm looking at the horse over the fence. But one of these days, I've got a white stallion I'm coming back with. Amen. I'll be able to ride this one, I guarantee you. Amen. 10,000s of His saints. Can you imagine all of the saints, and they're grouped in probably regiments, and you got 10,000, 10,000, 10,000, 10,000, 10,000, 10,000, all the saints in all these regiments. When the door of heaven opens, boy, it's going to be a big door too. The glory of the Lord is going to show. This world will be in darkness. Complete darkness, and the vast army that's gathered there in the valley of Megiddo will be in complete darkness. But when Jesus opens the door of heaven, the light of His majesty will be seen. And not only that, but the thousands upon thousands of saints that will follow Him. I mean, they will show forth His glory, and it'll blind their eyes when they look up. Folks, think about this. Why are the saints coming back with Jesus? What are we going to do? We don't have any part in that battle. We're just riding horses. We're just looking good. I mean, think about it. Riding those white horses, we've got on that those white robes. We're just looking good. We're there for just the ornament. Jesus fights the battle. The battle's won from the sword in His mouth. He speaks the word and defeats a huge army. So what are we doing? We're coming back for a reason. Why? Notice what it says here in verse 15. 2. All right, now let's go back to verse 14. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches with which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Listen, the saints are coming back for a reason. They're going to have a position as saints where they're going to be judging the world. Preacher, are you gone nuts? Well, maybe. But I want you to think about this with me. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And there's more verses than this, but we'll just read a couple. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. The Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he was dealing with another problem at the church at Corinth. But boy, I'm glad Corinth was having so many problems because we got some great stuff out of this. But I want you to notice here in verse 2 of chapter 6, 1 Corinthians. He says, do ye not know that the, who? Saints shall judge the world. What? Listen to what he said. The saints are going to judge the world. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment. Do you not realize that the saints will judge the world? Look, if you will, in the book of Psalms. Oh, this just keeps getting better and better. Look at in the 149th Psalm. Almost the last one. But notice what it says. The Lord gave us this before He quit. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 149. Start reading here in verse 5. Says, let the, who? Saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. And a two-edged sword in their hand. What's that two-edged sword? That's the Bible. Why? Verse 7 says, to execute vengeance, judgment upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. What are they going to do? They're going to execute judgment. That's what we've been elevated to do. Praise God. I tell you what, I get excited about that. Folks, with that awesome responsibility, we ought to act like saints.
Amen.
Walk like saints. Talk like saints. Get as close to Jesus as you can get. We've got an awesome responsibility. Now, one more thing and I'm done. Back here in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. The S-A-I-N-T-S, saints. Supplication for the saints. Look at verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 6. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Here we are in the year 2018. I still hear Christians say, well, I don't know what to pray for. I don't know how to pray. We've got millions upon millions of saints to pray for. Folks, you don't have to go too far to realize that this world hates us. It's not on our side. We've got people that may not be Baptists, but they're still saints. I'm not like the Baptist briders. I think they're saints outside of the ranks of the Baptist group. They're still saints. They're being persecuted by this world that we live in. They've placed their trust in Jesus, and because they've placed their trust in Jesus, they're on the wrong side. And they're being persecuted. We got them to pray for. Pray for those that are in bondage. Pray for those that are being afflicted. Pray for those that are persecuted. Pray for those that are sick and weary. Pray for those that are traveling the roads of this country to preach the gospel. Pray for those that stand behind the pulpits and preach. Pray for those that sit in the pews with you. Pray for those that are sitting in the pews of other churches in this area and around the world. Pray for your missionaries. Pray for the saints that gather to hear them preach every Sunday and every Wednesday or however often they meet. Pray for them. Well, we've got all the saints to pray for. Got to keep us busy for at least 5 minutes. Just praying. Praying for the saints. You know something? We got some glorious saints in that church that I have had the privilege to pastor for 6 years. Been trying to find a way out of it, but can't. But there's some glorious people there. People that love us, and we love them. And I pray for them every day. Got this little blind lady there in the church, and she thinks she can do more than people that can see. I got to tell you something about her, though. She built a table. I can't do anything. I've never been able to put anything. If I try anything, I glue it or screw it. I messed it up. Put nails in it. My idea of fixing a step is put as many nails in it as you possibly can. She built this dining room table. She's blind! It's the most beautiful table I've ever seen in my life, and she's blind! Don't think for a minute that blind people can't do anything. She works at Pizza Hut.
Whoa.
She works there. And she walks to work. If I was blind, I wouldn't know which way the door was. Some beautiful saints. Folks, they need our prayers. Wonderful people around the world that love Jesus just like you do. Supplication for the saints. I'm going to close with this, and I think I got the point across. We've been elevated to a position that this world can't reach without Jesus, and that's the position of saints. And from all, listen, I just scratched the surface. From all the scriptures that we find where we read about the saints are pretty special. God loves us. In a special way. You know Jesus as your Savior. You're a saint. Without Christ, you're lost and on your way to a godless hell. Let's stand very quietly. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, we do love you. Thank you, Lord, for this night that you've given to us. I pray, dear God, that you'll do a work in our hearts. Help us, Lord. Help us to act like saints, as becometh saints. Help us to realize that as a Christian, we've been elevated to a glorious position as saints. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our invitation, let's just spend some time in supplication. Let's pray for the services all this week, and let's pray for saints like we heard. And let's just spend a moment in prayer today.